advice from the entities that they've met.
Right.
They're like, you know, but I mean, shaman, they go on these journeys because there's a problem and there's answers that need to be given,
right.
or they're asking for a direction to be pointed. I'm like, okay, well, if it's not, they're going on these journeys. And then once again, I just look at things logically. I'm like, man, I've had some crazy encounters with entities. But none of them are like, yo, bro, you should go that way.
Right.
You know, I'm like, that's coming from the thing on the other side of the gate that they seem to be protecting.
Right.
Here's
the thing. I really firmly believe that. So when the things become niche, when people are like, oh, I got a cart. Oh, I'm going to get a cart. And we start commercializing it and we start putting it out there for profit and we start putting it out there and it becomes the drug of fun. You know, oh, I'm going to take this and I'm going to go do this at a festival and I want to go take this and I'm going to go do this at a party or I want to go take this. Then we're losing the actual understanding of what this molecule is actually purposed for.
Exactly. And I mean, there's just too many people that are just like, oh, I'm, you know, when I get done work at 3:30, I'm going to go home and break through tonight.
Yes.
You know, like, dude, that's not how it works. Like, you're supposed to really be like, it's as common now as like coming home and doing a bong hit. You know,
yes.
I'm like, dude, that's not how this works.
Right.
You know, there's something crazy over there. And, you know, it's just not something to be joked with,
right.
You know,
to go and commune with the spirit is a serious thing. It's a serious matter. That's why at this point in time, the only time that I really smoke DMT is when I'm being summoned, because, you know, in the beginning, when we all first start smoking it, we want to smoke it and we want to get there and we want to keep getting there. The whole shutout factor. And that's what really drives people crazy, because they're just like, what did I do? What did I do wrong? How come I can't go back? How come I can't have the same experience? Well, when that happened to me, when the shutout and things just weren't the same and things, that's when I knew that I had been there too much. It was time for me to stop and to integrate and figure out what I had seen and what I had been experiencing. And then I needed to wait until it summoned me back. And there's been several times it does. I know when it's happening because I can smell DMT. I can be in the middle of a grocery store, or I can be at work or somewhere, and all of a sudden I can smell DMT. And I'm just like, oh, that's my sign. I need to get prepared. I need to get my wherever I'm going to do this ad, get it up and get it right where I need to be so I can get suited up and go back in, because there's something out there that I'm supposed to be going to go see. But yeah, it is. I don't think people understand the seriousness of doing DMT is.
I knew right away, like, I had never, and unfortunately, my first one was bought, you know, off the black market. And, you know, and I mean, here's the crazy thing. I mean, you know, I got this thing and of course, you know, so I have like informed delivery. So I get a package and I already know that there's a package coming, and as soon as it gets delivered, I get a notification. So I'm like, I'm at work and I'm like, okay. I'm like, damn, I can get home. And so I rush home and I come home. And so, you know, I sit in my living room and I took some lunch in with me and I, you know, I took it out, screwed it onto one of my batteries, and man, I took one hit and I was like, holy shit, I got to go back to work in 30 minutes. I'm like, wow. but it wasn't when the first time, I mean, I'll never forget. So I was sitting in my dining room. And there's a big glass table in there, and that's like where I'll do like, you know, paperwork from work, anything. And
yeah.
Like I usually was sitting there and I mean, everything changed. I looked down and like, it was just the craziest. The carpet was, the most brightest, like psychedelic colors, the walls, everything. And I was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've seen some crazy shit on acid and on mushrooms. I was like, my buddy's like, how bad. I said, dude, I ain't never seen shit like that before. I was like, oh my God. And like, he didn't understand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so he's one of my closest brothers. I mean, so, you know, he kind of was with me when my whole mad scientist thing started. See, I'm the kind of person, like, if you're like, oh, bro, you, he can do it, but yeah, you ain't going to be able to do that. Man, that's all you got to tell me. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I resemble those types of things too. Yo, don't tell me I can't do something or I'm going to prove you wrong.
So, I mean, that's basically what a friend of mine, we were talking about it. And I'm like, dude, I ought to just fucking tech for us. And he's like, are you kidding me? He's like, dude, he was like, you pretty much do anything you've ever set your mind to. Because I think it's a little bit above your pay grade though. And I'm like, I was literally like, oh yeah, motherfucker. I'm like, okay, watch this though. I literally spent like 8-9 months reading everything that I could on it.
Right.
And then when I got my first thing to bark, oh, my buddy's here with me. I mean, it was crazy. It's just like 5 crock pots going in my freaking garage. I mean, it's like we were up all night. There's steam, I mean, in the room. Yep. I mean, it's crazy.
It was exciting, wasn't it? It was super exciting.
Like, so he finally goes to go, hey, he's like, I got to run home and do a couple of things. I'll be back. And I'm like, okay. And so we get to the point. I'm like, oh, I have my, you know, my first pull. I've got it in. Well, I didn't know anything about, you know, the whole, you just the freeze propagation of it. So I'm there. I'm just evaporating. I got like 4 fans on this pan. And I'm like, oh my God. And literally, I see a couple crystals starting. And, you know, I'm calling my buddy. I'm like, get your ass back up here. I'm like, oh my God. And literally, it was like, by the time it was done, there was like 3 crystals. And I mean, I'm like, wait. I don't think this is the way this is supposed to work out. And and so I just did a lot more reading and all of a sudden I figured it out. And so literally, you know, my buddy stops back up and I'm like, check this out. And he's just like, holy shit. So, you know, my original friend that, you know, just had to light the fire. I'm like, hey, stop by. And he's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, you fucking did it. I'm like, well, no shit, asshole. I'm like, what'd you think was going to happen? And I mean, I've had some crazy good returns. I mean, the tech that I use, you know, and I mean, I've asked people across numerous platforms and encounters. And like, so what, you know, especially when I first started with this new tech, and I'm like, so what's it good, comfortable, average? You know what I mean? I mean, you always hear like, okay, it's usually, you know, you get a gram per 100.
Right.
You know, and he said, if you're doing really good, maybe like 1.3, 1.4. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, why? What'd you do? I said, 2.4.
Oh, nice. You know? He pulled over 2%.
Yeah. And he's just like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah. And I've repeatedly done that. Now, I also know that here's the thing. I've read many articles where they're like, okay, we found that the quality of bark fluctuates from winter to summer.
Right. Depending on how far into the bark, what part of the bark you actually have. Mm-hmm.
Well, and trees, any tree or plant changes kind of how it does things when it gets cold.
Right.
You know, so here's the thing. So, you know, summertime here for us, most of the places where, you know, it's, you know, mimosa's going to grow, it's wintertime.
Right.
You know, I mean, so that's just, but, you know, I've found consistency and it's the tech that I found, but it's like you saw, I mean, I've had some crazy shit happen, you know, where I'm like, and I still don't fully understand what's, you know, so I, you know, talked to you and I was reading the Swim's whole thing and he's like, oh my God. He's like, you're missing it. He was like, you know, there's always a little bit of 5-MeO in there and then 5-OH or whatever. And he was like, but you have to chemically pull them a different way. And so I'm like, okay, I'm like, I'm going for this. And so I told you that. And I'm like, you know, he was like, so, you know, you basically, you're using a solution of basically citric acid. And he was like, you'll watch. He was like, if there's any 5-MeO, it'll fall out of solution. And I'm like, okay, right, cool. And he was like, now, basically, if you get the gist of what it's not going to be like some great thing. I mean, it's going to be a small amount, but if you would do that repeatedly, eventually you have some. Hell, everything I put in fell out of solution. Everything. And I mean, it turned into this giant, first it was white, and it turned into this giant yellow. The only way I can describe it is like soft paraffin, like almost like beeswax. That right. Was
I'm sitting on your pictures where you were.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, nothing, where you were describing all that. Yeah,
I mean, nothing dented this damn thing. I mean, I got naphtha like real crazy hot too. I mean, it was almost at its boiling point. I mean, it was hot and it still wasn't breaking it down.
Yeah,
and so all of a sudden it hit me, and I was like, holy shit. So I basically put industrial vinegar in, which is like 30%. At first, yeah, I'm like, it's not doing anything. Well, then all of a sudden I started shaking. Oh, it completely broke it down and dissolved it. Well, so now, once again, chemically, so now you have an acetate, you know, and you've got to get it out of that. So, you know, you have to put a base back in. And so I just use sodium carbonate, and I mean, thank God, the first time I did it, thank God I had it in a large freaking beaker, because let me tell you, I dumped that in not thinking, and the reaction that started. And so here's the thing. It's so, you know, I threw all this in, and basically you put it in until you don't smell that vinegar anymore, because you've now neutralized the acid.
Right.
And so I basically took brand new, because I recycle my naphtha all the time. I'm like, why waste it? I mean, I don't give a shit that it turns.
You should. Bright. You should always recycle if you can. I agree with that.
If you're, you know, you're doing a freeze precip, and then, you know, you bring that out, of course you got to evaporate then. So you're always going to lose some. But I'm like, bro, you just, you know, I'm like, it doesn't matter that it's yellow. And I'm like, and you can take some of that out by, you know, by washing it through like sodium carbonate, and I really don't give a shit. You know, it is what it is. And
right.
I'm like, but I used brand new, fresh freaking naphtha. And I'm not kidding you. Literally the minute that naphtha went in, that stuff is so charged. It's like the naphtha turned yellow. And I mean, in like a millisecond.
Right. Nice.
And so then when I did it, you see the pictures. It's so much more white, and the crystals are really small, but they're like so pronounced. Mm. But I feel that the reaction body wise is very much different.
Yes,
very, very, very much different. It's a lot more speedy. It's like when
it has more legs to it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's like literally somebody cuts the restraints on the freaking roller coaster in an instant, and you're dropping down. You saw the one thing I posted, like when the acid goes from 0 to 100 way quick. Oh, it's like that. I mean, it's going from like hello to ludicrous speed, you know, and it's just like, holy shit. And so that was in a cart. My buddy came up, and so he was like, dude, did you try any? I said, raw. I said, no. And so he was like, I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it. And so we went in, and I mean, I did one hit out of my concentrate rig that I use, and I looked at him and I was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, and I'm like, not tonight. I was like, dude, that's going to sting. That one's, you know, I'm like, that's going to catapult you over the other side. Like, you're going to be pulling G's when you pull up to your first freaking enemy. You know, and I was like, wow. But you're right. Like, I learned that, like, you know, it's like, it's almost like we were granted the little bit of novelty fun in the beginning. Where right. I was like, I mean, like, oh man, I mean, I can remember it 2-3 times in a week where I was sitting in my living room, like, okay, that's the craziest shit I saw, until 2 days later. Then that was the craziest shit I ever saw. and all of a sudden it was just like, that's not there at all.
Right.
And I'm like, and it's like, I figured it out. It's like, okay, that was like the little free ride that we get. That's, you know, courtesy. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to put your big boy pants and big girl pants on. As simple as this. I've learned it. Like, yeah, I learned, like, if I'm seriously seeking something, that's what it's meant for. It's not meant for just like the Friday night, Saturday night, like, hey, let's get together and all break through.
Not a party drug.
No, this is it's personal. It's a personal thing. It's a real, like, I've talked to so many people like, dude, you are crazy. You always need, you really should have somebody there, you know, that has a set of eyes on you when, if you're planning on really trying to break through. They're like, dude, you know, in case something goes wrong. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? I'm like, shit's so crazy looking. Once I'm on the others, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to know what you look like when I'm like, and it's personal. I'm like, I'm not worried about it. I'm like, dude, shamans don't have a bunch of people hanging out with them. I'm like, dude, these sons of guns will walk way out into the middle of the desert or a jungle. I'm like, and they're out there all alone. And basically they go into this. I'm like, dude, you know, like there's shit in that jungle that'll eat them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, they're off on the other side on aisle. They ain't worried about it.
Right. They're protected.
I'm like, it's a personal thing.
I'm a solo tripper. It's hard for me to trip with a group of people just because of I'm a solo tripper. Because I'm also like a heavy tripper. Like,
So
I'm gonna do as much acid as I possibly can because I want the balls to the wall effect. I want to go through the roller coaster journey that you go all the way through, all the hit the bottom and you come back, have to crawl your way back up. Like, I like those journeys. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. And I mean, we you talked and that surprised me. I wasn't ready for the answer that you gave me yesterday.
Right.
And I said, and you were like, oh my God, you were like, Lucy's like, that's my pat. I'm like, oh my God.
I have a passionate love affair with Lucy. I do.
Yes. Oh, and I still to this day, like my buddies are like, dude, you're crazy. They're like, you're 53 years old. I'm like, so what the hell does that mean? I'm like, Dick, I'm like, so I'm like, quit aging me. And he was like, dude, you can't be dropping doses no more. I'm like, says who?
LSD,
like,
yes,
like,
I can.
I'm like, dude, I'm like, you eat fucking boomers. Yes. What the fuck is the difference? He's like, ass is different. How the hell is it different? I'm like, I know exactly what's going to happen. I said, I've learned, I mean, you and I talked about this. I mean, that's the thing about boomers that are so deceiving. Like, I've had like a freaking 2 gram or a gram and a half, the most pristine. I mean, like, it's the poster board for a freaking boomer. And, you know, it's the ride's okay. But then I have that, what, one little ugly one in the bag that you keep shoving to the corner the whole time because it's ugly. You end up like it's all you have left at the end. You're like, and you eat that thing. And the next thing you know, you're under your kitchen table steering the planet with your big toes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I mean, I'm like, dude, I'm like, that little tiny one is going to kick your ass is worse than that big one. But I mean, I know, okay, well, it's 200 UG piece dose. I'm pretty sure I know about how tight I need to put my seatbelt on this one.
Exactly.
But
I can, you know, I know enough on how what UGs were going to do what to me. I also know what kind of acid, but how it's going to react to my body. I know. Yes. And this is why I like acid so much more than anything. Like, if I had to give anything up besides marijuana, acid would be the thing I would keep, and I would probably get rid of everything else.
Honestly, so would I really would. Except maybe mask. There's something.
Yeah, that,
It's kind of like all of everything rolled up in one. I mean, the Native Americans in our country, they had that shit down. And I mean, listen, there's plenty to be said about ayahuasca, but let me tell you, I mean, the mask to me, it's like the best of an acid trip. It's the best of being on mushrooms. It's like then throwing in a freaking sprinkle of Molly on the other end. I mean, you get like all of them. And like, I tell people, I'm like, dude, you don't understand. I'm like, they're like, yeah, but you puke. I'm like, dude, the ride don't, I said, let me tell you, the ride gets real fun when you start puking. I'm right. Like, you know, like it's just part of it. But yeah, you're right. And I mean, I was always a heavy tripper too. I mean, like one of my best, closest friends, and right now we're at odds. I mean, that's things that like that's happened over the years, you know, you get tired of each other's company, and he's in right now. I mean, I love him to death. I mean, that'll never change, but he right now is currently walking around with his head up his own ass, and just sick of dealing with patting him on. I'm like, dude, you keep doing this, and then you want me to like put you over my shoulder and burp you. I'm like, that's not happening anymore. Yep. You know, I'm like, bro, I'm like, you put your own head up your ass, deal with it.
Hey, how did you find EMT World?
Okay, so of course, I got my first cart, and next thing you know, it's gone. Bad experience. So then the guy that I got it from online basically screwed me over the next time. So let's just say this, you know, because the internet's just a horrible, wicked, evil place. Oh, I think I lost probably, I don't know, $1,000, $1,500 trying to find, you know, DMT and its carts and everything else. So I found put it in through DuckDuckGo. It was a YouTube clip. Something for sure. He was English, English guy. And he's talking about it. And he tells, you know, he's like, dude, he said, you need to make your own carts. Now he basically said, hey, here's the deal. He's like, I have a reliable source on the dark net. And so that's where he goes. But he goes, they're far and few between. He goes, the dark web's just, it's all bullshit. And so he was like, there's places to, and it holds so many. He kept saying this. He's like, you should really think about teching your own. He was like, but I can't tell you how to do this, because he was like, YouTube will probably pull my channel. But he's like, there could possibly be a link, and like he's pointing at the top corner, and you could see like a link pop up. And so, you know, I go on and I'm watching. He's like basically saying, okay, this is and he was like, you will find, he was like, you're going to find a bunch of very good information. And basically it was you and the Nexus. Nice. He was like, go to these two places. He was like, you will find a treasure trove of information to talk you through your journey of dealing with this. Because he was like, basically, I can't tell you on here. Cause he was like, I'll get booted. And, you know, and I'm like, okay. So, Nexus was the first place I went.
Right.
And of course, like I said, I'm a reader.
Right.
And so, you know, I ask about, because what I learned was in my reading, as many times as I got screwed over trying to find the DMT, well, all of a sudden I'm like, well, all of a sudden I start seeing these things like on Reddit, and they're like, dude, there's people that are ordering bark from places, and they're basically getting like bark off a Mississippi mudflat tree.
Yeah.
There's just as many counterfeit places out there selling bark. And I'm like, holy shit, I am like in such unknown territory. And so I read the rules. And so I threw it out there. I mean, oh my God, their admin was on me like in a minute. And he was like, you know, there's no solicitation of anything or sourcing of anything illegal. And I'm like, bro, I understand. He was like, maybe you need to read the rules better. And of course I was like, okay, well, page 2, paragraph 2, but basically this is, I'm like, this is what it said, motherfucker. And I'm like, dude, technically it's still legal in the United States to have bark. I said, now granted, I'm sure that somebody's probably trying to do their best to see where and how much of it goes where and who and how, and because they've got nothing better to do and they've got to spend our taxpayer dollars somehow. but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Like, you know, they're going to look and be like, okay, so, you know, 1,000 K, you know, a kilogram of bark to this dude. He's ordered, you know, here or there. Yeah, that's a personal user that's basically, you know, to them sitting somewhere fairly subdued now. And it's okay. You know, all of a sudden, but they're seeing like somebody buying like 85 fucking pounds of bark every 2 days or 3 days. Yes. I'm like,
those are the people they're looking at. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, bro, it's not illegal. Oh, he gave me this whole rash of shit. And he was literally like, okay, simple as this. It's being noted that, you know, you've broken the rules. And basically it was like, repeated behavior like this will get you banned. And I'm like,
wow. You're They thought, like, people think that that we're strict at, strict on DMT world. That's crazy.
Like, you're an asshole. You know, I was like, literally, you're an asshole. Now, granted, I mean, they have, if you go to the research side, I mean, Jesus, you're talking, I mean, pages to compile stuff.
Oh, yeah. NextMind is a great resource, for people. That's why I will always give them the tech link to it at NextMind, because it is. It's a great place to go and get information, especially if you're a reader.
But I'm like, I want to say to them, I'm like, bro, you know, so, like, you're telling me I can't talk about this shit, but yet you got all the papers on it to tell me how I make it. I'm like, so I'm supposed to learn how to bake the cookies, but then I can't tell you how happy I am about how they turned out. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, how do you think? I'm like, you guys are dicks. You know, I'm like, holy shit. If you're going to give me the information to tell me how to do something, well, then you should be like, yeah, we want to fucking hear how that shit turn out. Yeah. You know, like you said, and I've learned this, there's a great connection, like you had said, about the connection with, you know, getting your own bark and, you know, kind of becoming one with that whole process and you know, and with, you know, changing a plant. Well, you know, I usually have a garden every year, and like, I'm passionate about hot peppers. I've grown some like crazy boomer crops, but I mean, I find a connection with that too. There's something about like Mother Earth or itself. I mean, like, let me tell you, I mean, like, oh yeah, I'm as happy as can be, like, when I'm out there just sitting in a garden, and, you know, I mean, what, I'd be just as happy, you know, if it was freaking a bunch of indica plants sitting there. It's there's fruits to the labor.
Right.
Like, I'm real old school. Like, I love anything like that has to do with fermentation, canning, pickling, things like that. And so I was like, I grew all these crazy hot peppers, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like trying to find the best hot sauce recipe. And I basically came across, it's the recipe that they use for Tabasco sauce. And
oh yeah,
they're literally like the only company that will just readily give it out. If you go to Avery Island and take a tour and you're like, bro, can I get the recipe? They'll probably be like, yeah, sure. And then they're like, yo, man, send us an email. Let us know how that shit turned out. I mean, that's how you guys were. I mean, I'll never forget. I mean, I came on and I was like, okay. I mean, my ass was already clenched tight. And I'm like, don't know if I'm breaking the rules. If I am, please tell me. But I'm like, where can I find bark? I mean, literally, you were, well, you know, of course, I figured this shit out. Well, of course, the admin was the first one to say hi and friend me. Then you were the second one, but you're the same person. And I was like, okay. And, you know, and another fine gentleman, you're like, Prime Bark. Yeah. I mean, that changed everything. And I'm like, okay. And I mean, yeah, I would have a serious problem. Like, I'd be like, yeah, listen, there may be an issue. Like, if all of a sudden, like, I'm making, you know, taking some DMT, and dude, all of a sudden you're banging and selling it for profit. I'm like, dude, that's an issue. You know, I'm like, I don't think there's any, you know, so what? I'm like, dude, who am I hurting if I tech some and, you know, it's for me? I'm not hurting anybody. Yep. I'm not adding to this problem of crime, and it's just me.
Right.
You know? And, you know, I think that, like I said, there's something more to it than, like, I said this to you, like, I mean, I hear all these the youngsters, and they're like, oh my God, man, they're like, you know, there's this awakening happening, and, you know, and like, and I'm like, bro, yes, there is. But you really should be careful, because let me tell you, I'm like, dude, a lot of people I know, when we get to see when we really awaken, there are going to be a lot of people that ain't ready to see what's on that other side. I can tell you that.
Yep.
You know, there's something, there's a magnitude of something that's going on. I mean, I look at this, once again, I'm not a conspiracy nut. But, you know, and I mean, I've read plenty of it. Do I think there's connection between the, you know, human pineal gland and everything else. And I'm like, okay, So let's look at this here factually. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I just look at shit and call it for what it is, and bullshit. Or I'm like, okay, so at this point, you know, there's epic percentages of fucking aluminum present in our atmosphere, in our environment now, that we're never, I mean, just that are on epic proportions. They're finding like up like the in the Alaskan range. I mean, they're finding like snow that's on mountains that have 6,000 times the amount of aluminum that it should. And people, and they're like, you don't understand, it's in the snow. They're like, it melts every year, dumbass. Mm-hmm. They were like, so this new snow comes back, it shouldn't have any. Where's it coming from? You know, so you find out, but it has detrimental effects on your pineal gland. So does fluoride. Well, imagine that, you know, you got fluoride now. It's in your toothpaste. I mean, it's proven fact. Look it up. It's out there.
Right. You can find it. There's actually documentation.
There is not one stitch of documented proof that fluoride in toothpaste helps prevent tooth decay. Not one.
Right.
And what I find funny is, okay, so let's go into massive fluorination of, you know, municipalities' water. So, okay, so you're doing this. Well, here's the thing. I've seen test results where the fluorination in water is six times what it is in toothpaste. What you would like if you, but it's funny, turn a box of toothpaste over and it says, if ingested, call the poison control center immediately.
Right. Isn't that wild?
but you have tap water with six times the amount in it. But yeah, I didn't get any memo from the freaking, from the water company that says, hey, bro, if you drink some of this water, you try and call the poison control center.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, okay, wonderful. So you find all these things. They're like, you know, I'm like, you know, my buddy's like, well, aluminum, you know, contributes to Alzheimer's. I'm like, no, it doesn't. It's just as simple as this. I'm like, they just, you know, they, after cutting open the heads of the brains of a bunch of Alzheimer's patients, they found way high elevated levels of aluminum.
Right.
That didn't cause it. It's just there. I hate to tell you, you or me probably have the same elevated levels in our bodies as well.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, we as a whole, you know, the United States is pretty much the only place that still calls Alzheimer's and dementia.
Right.
Anywhere else, it's recognized for what it is. It's basically type 3 diabetes. Your brain becomes insulin resistant.
That's right.
And it's as simple as this. You don't lose your memory. You lose the ability to access your memory.
To access the memory. That's right.
But that once again, right. Here's the thing. What do they find it, they think causes this? Well, things in high saturated fat, produced foods, sugar. Wow. And look at what we're being fed.
Right. And then we're being told, like, we need to lower our cholesterols. Oh, we need to cut out our salts. Oh, we need to cut. Well, these are the things that we are cutting out of our systems that actually help these types of things. And so we've eliminated those.
Well, I read an article where they said literally long, long time ago, there was no such thing as bad and good cholesterol. They work in conjunction.
That's
and
right.
For a healthy body. The problem is our diet and what we've been forced to be in, right. To put in our bodies has changed that so drastically. I mean, so here's the thing. So I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, but the human brain is basically made out of a substance, the majority of it. Well, the majority of that substance is cholesterol.
Yes.
I'm like, so the human brain is, I'm like, okay, so the thing that you're telling me is bad in my body is what my brain's made of. You know, I'm like, okay, you know, salt. Oh, yeah. Avoid salt. Okay. Are you kidding me? I literally read a guy's article and he goes, literally the whole thing of that the government and the forces that be feed us, that this is what you should eat to stay healthy. He goes, pretty much do 180 degrees of that. Do the exact opposite if you want to remain healthy.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Salt's the terror. Don't stay away from salt. The human body needs salt to stay properly hydrated.
Yes. Yes. It shuts our kidneys down if we don't utilize it. It shuts our organs down if we if we take it away from our system, like, yes. I just don't understand how we've had such bad advice from those powers that be that supposedly know so much in these areas. And
well, go ahead.
No, no. What were you going to say?
Yeah, well, so, like, and I've learned this, reading papers. And, you know, one of the things I would tell anybody this, okay? If you're going to go to the dark web to do some shady shit, dude, you should pretty much get prepared to just get bent over and get screwed. Because that's just how it works. I mean, it's great. You know, it's the whole anonymity thing. But that also works this way. You don't know who the hell is on the other end either. Like, you could be conversing with an agency that you really don't want to talk to.
Right.
But what it does have is it has an amazing amount of access to uncensored information.
Right.
So I would tell anybody, yeah, it's a great and resourceful tool, because there's piles of information on anything that you can think of that hasn't been tainted and censored. Which, let me tell you, I mean, that's a big issue. I mean, like, I literally know people that if they didn't see it on the news, well, then it just can't be fucking real.
I know people like that too.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I saw Denzel Washington did this thing it was years ago. I don't even know when, but I mean, that's what he said. He goes, you know, he said, like, I think his father told him, it, back in the day, if you didn't read the newspaper, you were uninformed.
Yes.
Now, if you read the newspaper, listen to the news, you are misinformed.
That's right. Yes.
And, you know, like, my sister's a doctor, and, you know, and I've had that discussion with her, and she's like, well, she was like, but look at what the studies say. And I'm like, okay, well, who made the studies? I'm like, sweetheart, you can make a graph of numbers lean any way you want to when you're the one making the graph.
That's right. I'm like,
you know, I'm like, are you? And she was like, I'm like, well, she was like, well, the, you know, doctors saying, I'm like, well, how many doctors? She's like, well, like, it was like, I'm like, so 100 doctors out of like all the doctors in the world are saying that I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think that's like called a consensus. You know, I'm like, holy shit. And I mean, I'm like, you see it time and time again. You know, you can make anything lean that whichever way you want. And it's just like the separation from the truth. But I know this reading, you know, just the other things we eat. So everybody's like, okay, GMO. Okay, so no big deal. Genetically modified organism. Well, people are like, well, they did this so that corn is more resilient, doesn't need as much water. You know, it's more resistant to pests, stuff like that. But it grows bigger and grows more corn, which feeds more people.
More people. Okay, well,
mm-hmm. Sure, that's great. But what I've also learned is, let's say that corn carries some sort of really nice particle in there that they find combats cancer or something else. They'll genetically modify that to ship. They'll modify that right out of it.
Right.
And it's just like, you know, people think there's this great diversity in the grocery store that we go to. There's like five major food producers in the United States. It's all coming from one of them five. There's shit. There ain't no diversity.
You know, <right. laughs>
watch the movie Food Inc. It's when, and I wanted to go into the food. I wanted to be a chef for years. A guy that I went to that was a couple years ahead of me in school. When I grew up, like, I was the follow around kid. I was like, there wasn't many kids in my neighborhood. All the ones that were here were primarily about 3 or 4 years older than me. So, and I mean, that's any young boy. They always want to hang out with the kids that are older. That's just how boys are. You know, you want to hang out with the guys that are doing the shit that you're not allowed to do because they're a little bit older. Where was I going? So I have my other phones out here, and it just
beeped. You want to be a chef.
Oh yeah. So
when you were younger, and you were the kid that hung around with everybody because there was quite a age difference.
So now I remember. Anyways, okay, he, So he went, he, when he graduated from high school, he went to Johnston and Wales, which is up in Rhode Island. It's a really good school. And so that's what I wanted to do. And I mean, it, you know, I look back, I mean, for God's sakes, back then it was like $60,000 a year. Right. And I mean, it was a pipe dream, you know, and my mom, I mean, it was just my mom. I mean, it would have been crazy. But I mean, first of all, I wasn't ready for any of that stuff, but I mean, I had a passion for cooking. So, but him and I sat down one night, we used to, like, every Friday night we get together and we drink some beer and smoke a lot of weed and we'd watch some crazy movie. And this was back in the, like, when Blockbuster existed and shit like that. And so, but he got his hands on food, the movie Food Inc. And he was like, dude, it was horrifying. I mean, like, yeah. I'm like, holy shit. And he was like, I know. He goes, I watched it already before it came down. He goes, dude, I literally want to, like, not eat or drink anything ever again. But he was like, you know, and he looked at me, he's like, you think we could just survive on beer? And I'm like, oh, there's probably a whole nother movie about beer and, like, you know, like the nasty things that they do in that industry. You know, but I mean, yep. it's a proven fact. I mean, it's all about manipulation. I mean, everything, just in an epic scale. I mean, me as an addict, that's how, and, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you went brief reading what you were saying last night. I don't know how bad your addiction was, but as addicted people, I mean, that's how we survive. You manipulate yeah. people to get what you want. I mean, listen, I was a pro. I could walk in a room of 50 people that I had screwed over like 10 times already that were all pissed off at me. And in 30 mm-hmm. minutes, I could walk out of there and I had gotten everything I needed from each and every one of them. And they'd all been looking at each other like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
What just happened? Yes. Yep. Yes.
Do that.
People
like, dude, I'm not giving you money anymore. And oh yeah, guess what? Yes, you are. You just don't know it yet. Yep. I mean, it was crazy. I'm like, but that's how I'm like, you go into a grocery store. I mean, they are specifically geared to force you into the bullshit than to where the stuff that might actually be good for us is at.
Yeah, absolutely. It's true.
And it's all about us. I mean, it's the furthest away. And we as a people, we're in such a fucking hurry. Well, shit, that extra 100 feet, that's too fucking far to walk. I'm in a hurry.
Yes. Well,
a hurry for what? I've heard this from people from other countries. I mean, and you probably have too. I mean, I'm fairly well, I'm not well traveled, but I've met a lot of crazy people, especially at dead shows. You know, and they're like, we have never met a people that are in such a fucking hurry to go nowhere.
Oh, yep.
They're like, you guys are like a million miles an hour, but to do nothing.
Yep.
You know, they're like, what the fuck? You know, they were like, we get wound up too, but we got an objective, you know? And I mean, I'm just like, oh my God, there's no time for anything anymore. And I truly think that's how they want us, totally dissimilated.
Yeah.
I mean, like there was a couple of years ago, I was up to visit my father, and he lives in a tent right up at Harrisburg. So here, you've probably heard of Harrisburg, it's the capital of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes.
It's a small town right next to called Mechanicsburg. So my dad, I went up to visit, and he was like, let's go get something to eat. He goes, there's a new restaurant that just opened. He goes, I want to see how their breakfast is. And I was like, okay, cool. So we went and we're sitting there, and we were talking. All of a sudden he looked at me, look around in here. And I looked around and he goes, every single fucking person in this restaurant is on their phone and or a tablet and are absolutely not communicating or being physically involved with the person they're sitting at the table with.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, other than you and me, and there was a couple that were sitting right down from us, they were probably in their 70s or 80s, and were sitting there talking to each other. He goes, we're the only ones. Everybody else is doing their, you go to eat with people, you're on your phone doing your own thing. I mean, we're so just untuned and disassimilated from interacting with people.
Yep. We'd rather sit on our phones. And not have conversation with the person that is right in front of our face, but we'll have these conversations with people on our digital devices while we're supposed to be in person. Yeah, it's wild to me. It's crazy.
Well, and here's the thing. And you know, I'm like, dude, that information that's on there could be tainted and twisted any way that somebody else wants it. And that's what you see. I mean, like, it's ingrained in us. I mean, it's like, to go to school in the United States, I mean, people don't think about this. So you go to school, you're not taught to think outside the box.
Right.
You are taught to go to school, graduate, and become a cog in the fucking wheel.
Right. Factory workers. That's what the public schools were designed for.
You may succeed a little bit, you know, and be way better off than that guy. But guess what? You ain't near way off good enough where they're at. You're just another cog in another fucking wheel.
Yep.
I'm like, they don't think we're not. I mean, that's how it's crazy. Same thing. And you probably read articles on this. You know, it's all about frequency and the hertz.
Yes.
Music would normally be at what is it? 438 or something like that.
437.
All musical instruments though were tuned to like 440 or whatever, which it's a proven fact. It creates it creates massive chaos inside the human body.
Yes. Yes.
Really? Okay, so you look at the whole big picture. Once again, it's all coincidence. Okay, so we're having things that we hear, the frequencies, which you with energy, and I mean, I know just empathically when I meet people, mm-hmm. I mean, these are big key freaking factors. Absolutely. And so we have frequencies tuned to where it's not good for us. Yes. We have things in our food and we drink that do another thing. And it's like, okay, so there's a reason for this. And I said this to you once. So we're one of the only, so we have a brain that now they've rectified that and say, oh, well, and I mean, it's amazing. It's like, I look at things, I'm like, really, it's a coincidence again. Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden now, like they find out the truth about the pyramids, or, you know, all of a sudden now they're like, oh, well, we really do use all of our brain. Okay. So for so many years, we had a brain that we only use 10% of. Well, one of the things you learn in school, and this is, I mean, it's a true fact, nature doesn't waste a damn thing.
Right.
Nature's so perfect. I mean, you're born like me. Someday I'm going to die, you know? So I lay there on the ground and I rot. Well, as I'm laying there, things are going to eat me. It's going to nourish them. They're going to survive, be able to have more young. At some point, I'm into the soil. And, you know, now things grow better. And then, but then the things eat and they die. Everything's a life and death cycle, but it's harmonious.
Yeah.
But now,
well, that's like plants. When a poisonous plant grows somewhere, there's another plant that grows that is the antidote for that other plant.
Yeah.
And we see that everywhere in nature.
So, my question is, so we know that nature doesn't waste anything, but yet, we're creating, we got a brain that we're wasting 90% of. Most other organisms, you know, let's just primates, dolphins, stuff like, they pretty much use all their brain.
Yeah.
But we don't. So is it that we don't use it, or is it that somehow, unbeknownst to us, we've been taught or basically
purposely
that we can't use the other 90%? And I'm like, okay, I'm like, interesting question. So, you know, you start to think about things. Like I look at things, I mean, it goes all through history. And once again, I'm like, I'm a total numbers guy, you know. I don't know how, you know, the consensus about the Great Pyramids where it took 10 years to build them. Okay, cool. So, you know, let's look at Khufu's, the biggest one. Okay, so great. You know, the stone was mined like 80 or 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they used the theories and they used logs to basically roll these giant stones to the Nile. Well, okay. So last time I checked, it's a fucking desert. I don't see a whole shitload of trees around here anywhere.
Right.
Second of all, you're going to put these giant 90-ton blocks on a barge on the Nile and float them down. Okay, gotcha. You know, they made papyrus and reed boats. I'm like, okay. So, but here's the thing. It's just the numbers thing. So Khufu's basically, there's like 2,300,000, just shy, it's just shy of 2,400,000 blocks.
Right.
Okay, so if you're going to do that in 10 years mathematically, that means they had to mine, move, and place one block every 60 seconds.
Hmm. Wow.
And so you're going to try to tell me those numbers don't add up. I mean, my question is, okay, so we know this. Egyptians love their hieroglyphs.
Right.
I mean, they put them things on everything. It was like graffiti. But yet when you go in, there's none inside the Great Pyramids.
Right.
And if where is the giant stone sarcophaguses that they're, you know, their inner coffin was in? Well, I read papers and I've read articles like, oh, well, you know, the Tomb Raiders took them. I'm like, so you're going to tell me these guys, they're professional thieves. They broke in and now they're going to freaking drag a nine ton stone box out that ain't worth shit. You know, I'm like, really? And I'm like, and they did it without like any damage. You know, I'm like, things just don't add up. Like, you know, they found a pyramid. There's pyramids in Croatia.
Right.
There's a place in China. I don't want to go. I have it saved on my phone, but I don't want to try to get to it because I'm afraid I'll lose you. But I'm looking at this. I mean, there's like a dozen pyramids that are there. And I mean, they're grown. I mean, they're overgrown. Like, so here's the thing. You want to tell me, so we have multiculturals in this planet. So, you know, we had the Incas, the Mayas, you know, the Aztecs. So we got all these South American indigenous things, like empires. And they have pyramids just like in Egypt, but yet they never met each other. But then you look at certain things like in their hieroglyphs that there's a lot of resemblance of certain things and
similarities. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, once again, it's that whole, I know it sure as hell looks that way, but just trust us. It's a freaking coincidence.
Right. And then for years, they keep telling us over and over and over again. And so we've been programmed into these to think that this is the way it is, and there's no other way that it can be because this is how it's always been.
Oh yeah.
That drives me crazy.
There's so much shit. Like, I'm like, you know, I start reading things and then like, you know, sometimes like my mind wanders a little, but I mean, you know, I look at shit. And once again, I'm like, you know, there's certain things you just learned, like, you know, so I was reading this article that, you know, there's a lot of people that say like the whole key to this whole thing's in Antarctica. Well, you know, I'm kind of, once again, I'm like, I might have to agree with you there, because boy, man, it's fucking freezing cold down there and there ain't shit there, but man, they're doing their best to like be down there. You know, and then I question it. I'm like, okay, so it's all the sovereign countries that are, there's no private enterprises allowed to be there. It's all, you know, research labs from you know, sovereign nations of the world, except the Rockefellers. You know, I'm like, really? I'm like, well, I thought there, you know, there's no private people. But you know, I read an article. So it sure as hell looks like a pyramid down there. And, you know, you see the tip of it at article I read. And if you would do the math on it, so this thing would be about 4,900 feet tall, and which would make the base of it like 2 miles by 2 miles by 2 miles by 2 miles. That's pretty damn big. And
yeah, it is. Ooh, yeah.
You learn, and this is truth. I mean, so some things you learn in school aren't bullshit. There's certain things that nature really fucking hates, and that's straight lines and 90 degree angles.
Right, because they don't exist.
You got the tip of this thing sticking out, and they're like, well, yeah, it does look like the top of a pyramid, but that's from wind and ice erosion. And I'm like, okay, so the angles are so perfect. They're only off by like a thousandth of a degree and the straightness. I'm like, holy shit. So they're the straightest lines. I mean, we have trouble doing that shit now with lasers, and yet ice and snow and wind made this happen. But yet we all already know that nature does not like straight lines. I'm like, really? It's another one of those, you know, where I'm literally like, Just so you know, I realize that you're pissing on my back, and don't try to tell me that it's raining. Rain's not warm. I mean, I'm just like, it doesn't make sense. You know, I question all kinds of crazy shit. You know, you would think, I mean, space travel for us, for instance, space travel. You know, yeah. We want to go to Mars. Well, the biggest hindrance is getting out of Earth's gravity.
Right.
It just, it eats up fuel. Okay, well, we were in the, at the moon in the 60s.
I don't know how, but why
were we not already back there to build just a that's, I mean, we're 1/10 of the gravity. Dude, to get to Mars now would be totally doable. But right. Yet we were already there. But why have we not gone back? Why are we, I mean, we're wasting all this time and money on a space station.
Well, because they said that they've lost the information, the technology. They don't know. Supposedly they've lost all this.
Well, so once again, so I'm a numbers guy. So this was on the internet. This was supposedly on the internet and it got scrubbed. So I can tell you this, I'm not real computer versed. I know you are, mm-hmm. but from what I read, it's, you gotta be pretty damn powerful to basically erase something off the internet.
Yes.
To make it that there's no trace of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you gotta have some clout.
And yeah, you gotta know the right people.
So, but there were still articles that you could find. So Wernher von Braun, he's the godfather of rockets, you know?
Right.
Another questionable thing. We got this horrible world war, and then we go over there, and the guys that are responsible to make these, I mean, we scoop these suckers up, and like there's huge war tribunals over there. People get hung, but yet we're like, oh yeah, but that guy made rockets. We'll take him with us. I'm like, are you, you know, it's like people got freebies. So he made the statement. So basically it would have taken about 4,000 tons or 4,000 tons of fuel, basically the Saturn rocket. And NASA said to get to the moon, and NASA at one point stated the same thing. Saturn V rocket only held half of that. Oh. I'm like, so once again, I'm like, so you're going to tell me, how the hell are you going to tell me that my car is going to get from here to there and it takes 100 gallons of gas to get there, but yet my car is going to get there and it's only got 50 gallons of gas in it?
Mm.
I'm like, it doesn't make sense. No. And I read people. And so this is a weird thing. So, you know, empathically, like I can pick up on shit from people like you and I right now from a conversation. Right. I've picked up on people that I know, friends, emotions, like I didn't even talk to them and like, who knows how long. And all of a sudden I'm like, holy shit. Like, and I can figure out who it is. And I'm like, okay, so is it that they're projecting it over that much of a distance. But it's weird. So, you know, I almost feel like I pick it up. So watch some of the footage from like when they came back from the first moon landing. So you have Neil Armstrong, you got the other guys.
Right.
Dude, if I was just on the moon, I'd be like, holy shit, motherfucker, you know? Dude, these guys are sitting there like they're looking down at the table. Just kind of fumbling with their hands, which I read body language real well. Right. And I'm like, yeah, you motherfuckers are totally, totally bullshitting. And when you listen to the responses given, I'm like, that shit is so scripted.
Mm.
And well,
there have even been interviews later on where they have been asked questions about going to the moon and they totally evade the question. Like they won't answer the question. And they're they'll say things like, well, if you think we did, you know, things like that. It's like, what did he just say?
And there's other things that don't make sense. I'm like, okay. So, when you have like a satellite body around a planet, gravity's deteriorate over time. Eventually,
right.
You know, most moons, if I'm correct, like, you know, they're getting a little bit closer and closer to their mother planet, you know, because she's bigger and her gravity is eventually just going to win. And, you know, and it can, but yet our moon is just kind of hanging out. And it's also, we're locked in this perpetual that you never see the other side of it.
Right.
You know, I've read some articles where, so there were some asteroids that were basically,
we write songs about it. We've just never seen it.
Well, and there were some meteors. I read an article where there were some meteors that they knew were going to basically impact the moon. And so everybody was watching. They wanted to see what was going to happen. And I read an article where the one place they said that basically with a radio telescope, they said, dude, they said that the moon rang like a fucking bell. And, you know, I'm like, there's just things that just don't make sense. And so I watched a thing. And once again, you know, what's real, what's not anymore. But, you know, you what I would tell anybody, watch it all and then form your own opinion on just how your own gut's telling you.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a guy, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff lost, you know, on these moon landings. You know, the videotapes and everything else. He's like, but he was like, they have the transcripts yet. And he was like, basically, they were told that you're going to see shit up there, probably, like, you know, whatever. And so he's like, there was code words. And like, I'm watching it, and they're literally like, you know, they're going to the moon like the second time. And literally at one point, they're like, NASA, there's a Santa Claus, you know, and the guy's like, these are words for seeing things. And, you know, I'm like, there's just things that don't make sense, you know, and right. I'm like, you know, so yeah, I mean, there's a guy, I mean, I read the book when I was, of course, I was in jail, you know,
you had some time.
Not one of my better moments, you know, but I can tell you, I ate like a fucking king. God bless my mom, you know, with commissary, but I read, you know, all these guys, everybody, all the young, they want to get in there. They're all going to work out and get real buff and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, shut up and just give me all the books you got in your locker.
Nice.
And so that's what I did. And, you know, I'm reading and, you know, there's just, you know, reading on all this stuff. And they're like, there was a guy that bunked right next to me. He was a state offender. So he was there just bidding his time till he got what they call his green sheet. He was going to go back upstate. And he was like, we were talking about books and he goes, dude, there's some good ones. He was like, Behold a Pale Horse. He was like, but you can't get that upstate. He was like, it's on the forbidden, you know, the forbidden book list. Mm-hmm. He was like, I bet you can't get it here. So I called my mom and she was sitting, there's a bookstore right by us called Books a Million. And the prison, I mean, they're right real close to where York County prison's at. So, you know, book, that's where pretty much they'll tell you if you want to send books to any of your, you know, your people that are in your, you go to Books a Million and they know how to do it. You know, anyway, so I called my mom and I said, see if you can give me a book that's called this. And so next thing you know, I called her the next night. She's like, oh yeah, they had it. She was like, you'll have it this week. And so, you know, I get it. And this guy's like, oh my God, well, it's by a guy named Bob Cooper. And I start reading this thing and I'm like, holy shit.
Was it the uncut version or was it the edited version?
I proudly can say that I have the unedited, uncut version. Gosh,
that's beautiful. That's beautiful because that's a very hard thing to get nowadays. Because all the ones that were out there, they took ones that were out and they remodified them and took out, and I don't even know what they took out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and I was unaware of this. Now, my neighbor, when we were growing up, and it, like I said, this how you look at how the chess pieces are being moved. And I'm like, him and I've talked about it. He goes, it's for a fucking reason.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, there's things at play here that are manipulating shit. And he goes, something's coming. Something's coming. And he was like, if you look, he was like, it's like two opposing forces. And he's like, something is coming. And the other one is manipulating chess pieces. We had a huge, like, growing up, he's the first guy I ever smoked pot with. You know, he's like 4 years older than me. Well, yeah. As you know, life went on. I mean, we had a serious falling out. And let me just tell you, when I saw him the last time, I'm just going to be as rude as I can about this. I wouldn't have let him lick the sweat off my balls if he was dying of thirst. And that's how bad I hate it. And let me tell you, I know there was no love lost coming from the other side. Well, so I found out his father, so he didn't live there anymore. And my neighbor came over that lives between us. And it's three houses. So there's one house in between us. And he came over and he said, hey, did you hear that so-and-so passed away? And I'm like, oh my God, no. And growing up, my father, when he still lived here, and my friend's dad, oh man, they were thick as thieves. They were always drinking beer together. And like my dad would come down to visit me every once in a while. Like if he'd stop by, he'd leave, and my neighbor's dad, this guy's dad was in the yard. I mean, you know, my dad would be sitting over there for an hour talking to him. So, you know, I called my dad, and well, so then I started seeing some activity at the house, and my employer, he's a real estate nut. And he said to me, bro, he was like, if you see your neighbor there, ask him what their intentions are for the property. He said, maybe we can save each other some money and just do this privately. He goes, but I'd be real interested at looking at it. And he has his own reasons for that. But, you know, I said, okay. So I kept looking. Well, you know, I saw a work van there from a construction company. He's a superintendent that works for one of the rival companies that we compete against, my company competes against. But so I see it over there, and you know, I'm realizing there's some stuff done. Well, so I'm leaving my house the one day, and I'm going to the grocery store to grab a few things. So I go tearing out of my driveway, you know, and I was baked as hell, you know, and I'm heading over to the grocery store, and he's coming the opposite direction in his car. And I'm like, you know, the glares were there, and we get to the store. I don't even think about it. Well, he had beaten me over there. Well, as I'm walking in, I see him walking in front of me. I'm telling you, Happy, I just wanted to do, I'm like, fuck this. I'll come back later. I didn't even want to see him. I couldn't stop walking. I'll tell you, there was literally something pushing me. And the only out I had was going in that fucking store that day. I really don't think that I was being given another option.
Right.
And I could feel that. Once again, empathically, I feel things and I'm like, okay, but where am I? It's like I'm feeling it from something that like you can't see or touch. It's weird. And so next thing you know, I'm walking in this store and he's right in front of me. And I made a snide comment and he turned around and we started talking. And he started telling me about how his father died. And this guy is like rootsing and teared up. And so growing up, like I didn't have much money. Like I traded off a bunch of my worldly possessions to this guy for weed. And right. So a couple months later, I'm out. I was given a new van for the company I work for. Once again, I've got the king of our fleet and I'm a crazy guy. And so he kind of gave me carte blanche and do with it what you want. And so, you know, he financed some. Well, I financed a bunch myself. And so I built my electrical, I have spotlights in it, all kinds of crazy shit. And so right. I built an electrical control panel.
Oh, for nice.
Seat to control. So I'm in my driveway and I see him drive by and all of a sudden he stops right at the bottom of my driveway. And I'm like, oh Jesus. I'm like, I really don't feel like talking to this guy now. And he comes up and within 2 minutes of our conversation, he pulls out this little pocket knife. It was given to me by my grandfather. Mm-hmm. It was a stocking stuffer. And I traded it to him. And we're talking 40 some years later. And he's like, I had to give this back to you. And I'm like, holy shit, you still have it?
Oh.
And I mean, I went in and so I'll never forget. So when I came home from the grocery store that first night, this is when I realized something was happening. And so I walked in, I said, hey mom, I said, I saw George, this guy, his name's George. I said, I saw George at the grocery store. I said, he bought his parents' house. I said, he's been over there doing the work because I said him and his wife are moving in. And she looked at me and she's like, how do you feel about that? And I looked at her. I said, you know what? I said, I'm totally fucking okay with it. And it was weird. So we had a huge power outage here. So I got the pocket knife from him. And so we had a power outage here one night, bad storm. I was working down in Maryland, real quick offshoot. So I'm in Maryland doing a job, beautiful, big house. It was like $1 million renovation. And tornadoes came through this area, which is kind of a rarity of. And so we're down there and it got so bad. The weather, I'm like, I'm in my van loading up to go home. And I mean, it's really ugly looking. And like this tree branch falls on my van. I still have the dent in the roof. It was huge. And I'm screaming for my partner at the time. I'm like, dude, we got to go.
Right.
And we go to pull out, and it was blowing so bad. So it was like a dirt lane. And so there was trees in front. So we sat there and literally we watched a bunch of these pine trees literally get ripped out of the ground. And my buddy's looking out the back of the van and he's looked at me. He goes, son of a bitch. And this is my friend that I did my first batch, like my first tech with. We were up all weekend. And I mean, I've known this guy forever. He's the one that still is walking around at the present time with his head in his ass. And he looks at me, he goes, son of a bitch. He goes, I'm going to die in this field from fucking tornado with your ass in the van with me. And he was like, we got no beer to drink and no weed to smoke. He's like, ain't that a son of a bitch? And I'm like, dude, so it was really bad. And so like, it took us forever to get out of there and get home. Well, when we got to the main highway, which is it's an interstate. It goes through from Baltimore, from down at the Inner Harbor at the Bay. It goes up into us and up above Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it looked like war footage. There was, I mean, mm-hmm. like I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, just the debris and shit like that. And like, we're heading up north on this interstate. Southbound lanes are closed because there was literally trees that had gotten yanked out of the ground and hurled into the middle of the highway. And so I get home, all of our power's out here. And I'm in Pennsylvania, like 30 miles from there. And I'm my mom's primary caregiver. She's pretty much blind and she's here panicking. And you know, the house is dark, you know, and I'm like, holy shit. So basically I'm trying to figure out how am I going to keep things going for the night? So I thought, hell with it. I'm going to go use the company account, get a generator and I'll just pay him back. And I've done this before.
Right.
He gets a little pissed at me, but he always knows I'm going to pay him back. And there wasn't a generator in the store. And actually the one that was left, the guy was in front of me when I was checking out. He was from the area. He lived in the area of Maryland where I worked that day, where it was the worst. He's like, dude, so I bought what's called a power inverter. And so anyways, I'm wiring it into my van. Well, I just out of the blue, I'm like, you know what? I wonder if he's awake. So I call my neighbor. I'm like, you awake? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, dude, my power's out. He's like, let's drink beer. And I'm like, okay. So he comes in and we're talking and it is going from a place. He looked at me at one point. He goes, Matt, he goes, this is like storybook shit that like you and I are living through together. Like how this, our relation. I said, dude, do you not see this? I said, the pieces, how they're being moved. He goes, oh, I already saw. Cause when we were growing up, like he started getting these ideals on like just how things didn't make sense. And hell, we all thought, I'm like, dude, I said, dude, I used to think you were freaking conspiracy nut crazier than shit. And I said, now I pretty much believe everything that you did then. I'm like, holy shit. You know,
they're not theories anymore. They've all come true.
The thing, like I know some conspiracy nuts, like true conspiracy nuts.
Yeah.
But he looked at me and goes, I'm just a realist, dude. He goes, I look at shit and I'm just gonna tell you, dude, it don't make sense. I don't care how you explain it, it's don't make sense.
Right.
And I'm like, I look at it that way too. But I said, but then the empathic part of me, I look at a person, I'm like, dude, I knew you were lying the minute you opened your mouth. Just because I'm feeling your energy and what's coming off of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, so what's this? I'm like, dude, the man behind the curtains, man, he's working real hard. And I'm like, dude, how did that many people not see this? And, you know, I talked to a guy and he goes, well, it's simple as this. He goes, most people, as long as it doesn't affect their little perfect bubble, they just don't give a shit.
They don't pay attention. And
no.
when they can't see what's happening is because of technology, and now we're able to see what's happening on a real time and we can actually see it, and everything's moving so quickly, we're now not having time to process, but we're seeing things in a bigger picture. And so we're starting to see the connections of the dots. And that I truly believe is due to technology and the access to data and information and places that we've never had access before. And those of people like you who is smart enough and data driven and actually can see those things, we're the ones that are starting to wake up first. It's what's happened.
Yes, but once again, then this goes back to my whole thing of more. It's happening more now than it's ever happened.
Ever.
And yep. Like, anybody that has a brain, when something like this starts to happen, it's because something's going to. There's something coming.
There's definitely something coming. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm like, it's weird. And I'm like, and part of it makes me laugh. I'm like, okay. I'm like, are the powers that be, the chess people, the chess players, are they? Okay. So now all of a sudden we're going to give things to veterans, man. We're talking people who, when they're operating, okay, they're the toughest, most driven people on the planet. Let's give them mushrooms to help them now with their PTSD. I'm like, really? I'm like, so the people who are going to be the strongest and have the ability to defend us and keep, I'm like, you're going to give them something that's going to do this. It's, and like I said, you had said to me, you made a statement when you crossed paths with them. And I said to you, I said, I see I see tears in the fabric, like almost of time. Sometimes I'm looking at shit and I'm like, my buddy said to me, he's like, you can jump interdimensional. You say dimension walkers is what you, I think your term, is that what you called it?
Yes.
He was like, bro, he was like, there's times where, I mean, like, I don't need DMT. I mean, like I said to you, you want to talk to somebody, you want to talk about freaky. Okay. So you see your Oracle and I've talked to other people that they have one specific entity that seems to greet them or be there waiting for them.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, wait till I've seen mine on this side.
Yeah.
And I'm like, like the first time that happened to me, I mean, literally, like I lost a day. Like I sat there for like hours thinking like, holy shit. And I'm like, I'm not crazy. And here's the thing. So when I'm over there, like my brother that's on the other side, I mean, I don't know it, or my guardian, whatever.
Yeah.
I can smell them. It's weird. Like, my sense of smell is really crazy. Like I can smell shit, like, and it's weird, but like I can smell them. And that's the first time I thought, oh my God. And I saw him, and I'm going to say it's him. Because it seems very masculine and just how it carries itself.
And it probably is. It probably is a male energy.
But on the other hand, how do we know, or how do you, I mean, and yes, it's some sort of energy, but how do we know it's male energy? There may be no difference.
I don't know. I think there is a difference between the male and the female divinity. So,
okay.
So this energy, and that's also encapsulated why we have male and female in our society, in our world. And that's how we, because it talks about in a lot of different places where it talks about, it talks about the splitting of the soul, the splitting of the energies that are split. And those are what brings you back to your, we try to find our twin flame. We try to find our, because in theory that it's the two, it's what the merging came, yeah. Unmerged.
At one point we were one, but then split into two.
Exactly.
But the whole purpose is to go back into oneness again.
Exactly.
It's crazy. So I saw a thing, you know, one night just watching, I watch my phone a lot at night, you know, and just random shit. You know, it was this black guy, it was in this room with all these women and, you know, and he was basically, you know, he was telling them, he was like, you know, this is, you know, he was like about how, you know, he was like, you think, he was like, you don't even know what men really want. And this guy, I was like, holy shit. You know, he was like, you think that we want, you know, something with big boobs and, you know, the 3 hours of you getting ready to look like you do. He goes, he's like, that's not what men really want. He was like, and they just don't realize this. He goes, you know, but at the core of it, he goes, it's what it really is. And yeah. She was like, well, what do you really want? He goes, I want my fucking rib. And like, I was like, holy shit. Not one of these women understood, like, say what? They're like, the fuck? And he was like, I want my rib,
right?
And I'm like holy shit. That and he was like, I don't care what she looks like, if she's my rib, he goes, she's the one that's going to make me the most badass motherfucker that's on this planet.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, this all goes back to, and you're correct, so like I mean the adage that the woman makes the man, dude, yeah. There ain't something that's never been more truly spoken, because you're talking about becoming one again. You know, it's now a shared energy that, I mean, you're pulling off of each other. I mean, it's, people don't understand that, like, I mean, how energy spreads and how, you know, it's, you know, it's a force to be reckoned with. You know, like I can see it around people sometimes. I mean, I sense it empathically just differently than you do. I mean, like, I know an individual, like, he's like totally like, he sees the aura around people. And I'm like, dude, that's gotta be badass. He's like, literally, he's like,
no,
dude,
not all the time.
He was like, well, he was like, in the beginning, dude, yeah. He's like, it gets a little fucking old every once in a while.
It does. And when people find out that you can see, you can read auras and see them, oh my gosh, you know how many times people come up to me and they're like, so you can see auras, so what does mine look like? And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. Like, it's not a, I'm going to look at you and I can tell you what your aura color is and everything about you. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes, yeah, to shut it off, sometimes you just want to shut it off because I don't always want to see what people, kind of like probably your empathic ability. You don't always want to see or feel what people are, what's happening.
And I've had people come up to me and they're like, oh, so you can sense what people, and you can mm-hmm. sense. And they're like, so what am I thinking? And I'm like, it doesn't work
that way.
Yes, I don't know what anybody's thinking. But I said, right. I can tell what you're feeling. And I'm like, right now, I said, I'm like, I'm feeling that you're a pain in my ass. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. But like, there's times where, like, I'll be around somebody and man, it'll hit me like hard. Yeah. Like, I'm like, holy shit. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's amazing. You know, the obstacles, I mean, there's like things in the way, and like, usually I can filter through it and I can say, okay, I'll bet my mm-hmm. life on it. This is what's going on. Yeah. And like, I've met people and I'm like, let me just ask you something. And they're like, dude, how the fuck do you know that? And I'm like, I don't really know.
I just know it. I don't know how, but I just know it. I say that to a lot of people. They're like, how do you even know that about me? I just do.
You know, I want to, you know, like, I hear so many youngsters are like, oh my God, you know, they're like, people just don't understand how psychedelics are going, how they heal you. Just, you know, I would tell anybody, brother, you are so wrong. Right. Sure, there's some benefits. The healing comes from within you, period. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So just a tool.
What the psychs help do is remove the obstacles that are implanted in the way of getting to that healing.
Right.
That's the trauma. Right. And for sure, they can most certainly, you know this as well as I do, they most certainly can ease the pain that you're going to feel getting that to that healing as well.
Yeah.
Because most times it's going to sting real bad. And I think subconsciously, that's why people stay where they are and the healing hasn't happened, because they've already had a taste of how bad it's going to sting, and their body, it's fight or flight reaction. Their body's like, we ain't ever going back there again.
Yeah.
And exactly. they know, it's like, you could ask them, they know that they don't want to go over there, but they can't tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you, you've subconsciously, you've already felt this before. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things, like, you know, going through AA and stuff, you know, oh, well, you're supposed to make amends with people unless it can cause them or you physical harm or pain. And I'm like, bro, yeah. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Let mm-hmm. me just tell you something. If you want to make amends with somebody that you have royally fucked over, mm-hmm. And I can tell you this, you better be prepared, because this happened to me personally. You better be prepared for wanting to make things right with somebody who really means something to you, and they look you in the face and say, fuck you, I hope you die.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, bro, that's going to hurt in a way you ain't ready for. But through that fucking hurt comes a healing and like a recentering of yourself that you ain't ever going to get any other way.
Mm.
It's like you got to go through the fire to get cleansed and made whole again.
Absolutely. Okay. We're past the 3-hour mark.
Oh my God.
Believe it or not. I've never talked to anybody that long on the podcast, and that's really cool. But let's end this. Let's end this, because it's been 3 hours and I need to go do some other things. What I want to ask of you is, at this point in time of the podcast, this is what I let people in the community, whatever you is on your heart that you want to tell the community people who will be listening to this podcast, what is it that you would want to tell everybody?
I would tell anybody. As crazy as it sounds, I mean, just listen to what's going on in your own head. I mean, you know, it's listen to your heart. It ain't going to lead you wrong. You know, and I don't know really what to tell anybody. Just follow what, if you listen enough, your inner body, your inner soul is going to tell you what you need to hear. You know, follow your heart. You know, stay true to yourself, and you know, you can't go wrong that way. You know, just it's simple rights and wrongs. You know, hold the door for somebody.
Yes.
You know, for karma, I don't care what karma's real. It's simple as this. You know, you get out, you get back what you put out. I mean, if you put out good energy, you're going to get it back. We're just too impatient. It may take 10 years. It may take a day. It may take 10 years. You're going to get it back though. And it's always tenfold. I mean, I look at where I was and would ever think that I have the incredible relationships that I have already. I mean, like when I first came to DMT world, you know, and like people were like friend requesting me, I was like, dude, I was like excited. Like it was like cool shit. I'm like, damn, somebody wants to like, you know, like be my internet friend. Like I'm an old fucking person, you know, I'm like, and this guy's for sure, like in his 20s, but he was like, I'm like, damn, that's cool. You know, it was really cool. You know, just don't lose sight of what is really what you should be keeping your eyes on. You know, we're all missing the big picture, I think somehow.
I agree.
I mean, I told you, there's no way that my meeting with you is by chance.
Yes.
No freaking way. I don't give a shit how you want to explain it. I look at this, I'm like, damn, they're moving the chess pieces pretty damn proficiently here lately. So, I mean, you and I have way too much in common. I mean, yes. I'm just like, that's what's happening to me here lately with my neighbor. I mean, like my bond with him now is so tight. I'm like, okay, this is really freaking weird. And I'm just like, every day I'm strapping in, getting ready for the ride to get launched.
Nice.
You know, and you just, you said to me about, well, we may have to change that to get me to Chicago. I'll bet you the odds are that I'll end up in Topeka, Kansas before that happens.
We'll see what happens.
So,
Well, you know, with that being said, I'm going to end this, and I'm going to tell my people out there that are listening, oh, I hope you enjoyed this 3-hour interview with Maddie, and keep ascending, friends.